Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
Well, what I want to share this morning, if I wrap up my message, is Emmanuel is not just a name, but a reality. Can you say that to your neighbor? Emmanuel is not just a name, but it's a reality. It's a reality. That when we say, when we hear the word, his name, Emmanuel, it's not just a name, it's a reality. And one of the foundational truths that we find in Scripture is the imminence of God. And we hear about and we see in Scripture also the transcendence of God. And the transcendence of God pictures God beyond his creation. That God is not limited to our timeline, but he's outside and he's able to intervene in the timeline. It's like God is outside in of the timeline and he sees a whole timeline and he can, like right now, he sees us, but he also sees Moses. He's not caught by this timeline that we're in. It's hard for us to imagine, but this is who our God is. He's beyond creation. He goes beyond our timeline. But you have also in Scripture the truth that where we find the imminence of God. And the imminence of God assures us that he is not a distant or impersonal force, but a loving, present Father who is intimately involved in every detail of our lives. The imminence of God talks about God getting involved in our lives. And I think it's so important for us to see that. When it comes to life, when it comes to where we are and what we are facing and what we're going through, it's important for us to see that God is not on a holiday somewhere or he's not living on this planet somewhere, that he's not distant from us, but that God's desire is to walk with us and be with us. And this is what the imminence of God is. It's God being with us in all aspects of life. And if you look at Psalm 139, the psalmist kind of expresses that. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I made my bed in the depth, you are there. If I rise up on wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand would hold me fast. And the beauty with this phrase or these three verses, it shows God showing up in the life of the believer. And it's important for us to realize that the imminence of God is true. We also believe in the omnipresence of God, that God is everywhere, but there's a manifest presence of God that follows the believer. And wherever we are at and whatever we deal, whatever is before us, I need to see that God is in my room. I need to see that God is present with me. And maybe life is great right now, and things are peachy, and that's amazing, and that's great. But we understand that life is not always peachy, and there's some challenges that we face. So if you're a young adult, you're a teenager, if you are a young parent, or you are in your middle age, or let's say you are retired, you have to remember this belief that we have that God is imminent, that God is always present, and that God is always there, that he's always in the room, wherever the room looks like, whatever we are facing, he's always in the room. In some days, as we can see him, it's very clear and we're so excited, but sometimes we are in a dark room and things are difficult. I need to stop and say, Jesus, where are you? Because he's there. And when we look at the challenges that we face and the obstacles that are before us, sometimes one of the things that we forget, it's the imminence of God. And I look back on my journey and I look at things I've carried or things I tried to fix. And it's like I do life without him, without seeing him, and without realizing that he is with me. And so it's important for us as we celebrate this season to know that the intention of God has always been being with us. And when we look at the Old Testament, repeatedly we see God's desire to be with us and to be with his people. You look at Leviticus chapter 26, verse 12. Look what it says. God is saying, I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. The heart of God, Yahweh, was to walk among his people and to be with his people. When he created Adam and Eve, that was the intent. It was to walk with us. And that intent never changed. And we get caught up with our world. We get caught up with the dust. We get caught up with the urgency and the things that are getting our attention. And sometimes we forget the fact that God is with us right now and he's in the room. I look at Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. It says, then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. So God says, build a house for me, and I will be with them. We got the picture of the pillars of fire following the people. We got the picture of the glory of God leading the people. And it's nothing has changed. God still does that today. God wants to lead you. God wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to show up in your life. And that's the heart of God. I remember when, many years ago, when I was a teenager and was part of a religion system. And I remember being in a smaller group where I was the youngest guy there, and most people were elderly, and they had kind of a duotang with songs to sing. And I like what they would do is they would come in a circle, and they would say, which song do you want to sing? And someone would say number 35, and then they would sing number 35. There was no music. It was just like that. And I was looking at a song, and I wanted to sing that song. And one of the older ladies saw that I wanted to sing a song, and she figured out that the song I wanted to sing was more an upbeat song that was on that page, but it wasn't the case. It was this slow song, and we sang it in French, and I won't sing it to you this morning. I will spare you that. But it was Psalm 43, verse 2. And I remember singing this song at that time, not knowing it was verses in the Bible. But these verses really rocked me all these years. And they're so powerful. I know he's talking to the Israelites, but I believe he's talking to me too. And he's talking to you too. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt or consumed. The flame will not set you ablaze. And he says in verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One, Yahweh, your Savior, your Redeemer. And so that you see the people self-inflicted when it comes to walking away from God. They walk away from God, but God never walked away from them. That's the beauty of grace. It says you go through water and you won't be submerged. You will go through fire and you will not be consumed because I am with you. And that's what God really wanted the people to catch. And they were not catching it. They wanted to have their own kings. They wanted to have their own stuff. And they did not see the intent of God. It's to be with them and to walk with them. I feel that we go through the same challenges when it comes to different things that are before us. We forget that the heart of God, it's for us to see him and acknowledge him and make him room for him to speak and for him to lead. Like it says in Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. And then he says, I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. Sometimes when we look at our situation, when we look at what's happening in Ukraine, and we look at what's happening in the Middle East, and when we look at the tension or how we're polarized in the nation, and we look at our government that is in jeopardy, or there's lots going on the Parliament Hill, and sometimes we are caught by fear and anxiety, and God says, be still. And know that I'm God. And he says, I will be exalted among the nation. I will be exalted on the earth. I will show up. I'm always there. I will I will fulfill my heart's desire. I have a plan. And so to see God in our midst brings a sense of peace. Really. When you know that God is in your boat, right? It changes how you will face the future and how you respond. It will influence your attitude. It will influence your inner state when you know that he is in the room and that he is there, you know? When we look at scripture, we see God walking personally with individuals. And we see that, right? We think about the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace, right? You know the story. Or the king, it says in chapter 3, verse 24, then King Nebu leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisor, aren't there three men that we tied up and threw in the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looked like a son of the gods. What an amazing text, right? Where you see them being thrown, and the fire was even hotter than usual. It doesn't matter how hot it is. When it's called to burn, it's going to burn. But what we find here is a fourth person that looks like a son of gods. And this Jesus is in that furnace. What an amazing picture, right? Where we look at this story and you are thrown in the fire, and we know the question, we know why, is because he didn't want to bow before the statue and adore the statue of the king. And they said, hey, if God delivers us, it doesn't matter if God delivers us or not, we will not bow before the statue. But what I really like about this story is we see God being in this furnace. What I'm saying to you, I'm not saying that because God is in your boat that it's going to be all peachy and there won't be any issues. But I'm going to tell you that when you have him in your boat, it changes everything. You know that he has a destination. You know that he has something in store. And you trust in him. And as you trust in him, you're able to do his will. I think about Daniel in the lion's den. Like sometimes we talk to our kids. For me now, it would be grandkids, right, about Daniel and the lion's den. It's a beautiful story, but it's not a fairy tale. Daniel was in the den, and God showed up, was able to close the mouth of the lions. Like, you might be in the den. You might be in this hard situation, but God is with you. You got to see him. You got to see the imminence of God, that God is present in your life. Maybe it doesn't apply today, but it will at some point in your life where you'll have to stop and say, God, where are you? And you will see him. And when you see him, peace will come. And it's going to change the way that you approach things. You got the story of Joseph. While he was just doing what he was called to do, and things were not good. Like, you think about Joseph where he received the dreams of the Lord. And when he was betrayed by his siblings, it was 13 years in that journey before he became second in command in Egypt. 13 years of hardship. 13 years of feeling alone. 13 years of where he was betrayed by his own, was brought in Potiphar's house. You know the story where he was lied about. He was put in prison. And you find in Genesis chapter 39, verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. He prospered when he was a prisoner. But really the focus is the Lord was present with Joseph, the imminence of God. In the same chapter, verse 21, and the Lord was with him while he was in prison. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. In the prison, God was with them. It's so important for us to see this, because if I don't see it, it will influence the way, it will influence my decision. When you look at where you are today, a young adult, or wherever you are in this journey, if you don't see him, you won't ask him for direction, and you won't have his influence in your life, because you're leading your own life. But when you understand the imminence of God, that God is with us, it changes everything. You got the story of Moses, and I'll finish with the story because I could go on all morning, because that's what we see in the Bible. We see people following God and God walking with them, right? But the story goes, Moses was overwhelmed with the task of leading the people. And it says in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, and the Lord replied, my presence will go with you. Can you say that to your neighbor? God's presence will go with you. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. So why do you have rest? Why was Moses able to have rest? Because he knew that God was walking with him. Like, this is where we find rest. There's so much anxiety today. There's so much stress, so much tension, so much fear. And where do I receive this peace and that rest? Is my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. The imminence of God gives you rest. When you are looking for a breakthrough, whatever it might be, in relationships, in your own life, in your finances, you want to see him with you. And when you see him with you, it will bring rest. I look at when Moses was 120 years old. How many of you here, 120? No. and he knows he's not going to cross into the promised land. And he says to the people in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you and never forsake you. He will never leave you and forsake you. And the God will go with you. This is what God does. You see? This is what God does. He comes with us. And in this chapter, even earlier, it says, the Lord, your God himself, will cross over ahead of you. It's not just he's with you. He's ahead of you. So you're not afraid of tomorrow. You're not freaking out about what lays ahead. He's already there. And so you can trust in him and rely on him and realize that you're not in this trek alone. And sometimes we believe that, but it's not true. You're not in this trek alone. And so when it comes to Christmas, that is the message that God is telling us and expressed through the gospel. And in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the prophetic word of the Messiah, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with you and will give birth to a son, and I will call him Emmanuel. And you know what Emmanuel means, right? We find the meaning of it in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, and the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's the heart of God. Be with us. Like, you're dealing with depression, dealing with all kind of fears. He's with you. He's with you. It's to anchor your faith with this belief. And the belief is found in his word that God is imminent. Like, Emmanuel is not just a name, but a reality. It's not just a name. It's a reality because we know his name is Yeshua, that is Jesus. But what he is communicating to us is that he's with us. And he gave us these promises in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Never will he walk away from you. You might be dealing with guilt and condemnation because of sin. And the devil wants you to believe that there's no grace and no hope for you. And he does that so well. But God is in the room. And he's saying to you, hey, son, hey, daughter, I'm here. I'm with you. Turn to me. Rely on me. Trust in me. And you'll see God move in your life, right? And so when it comes to Christmas, it reveals that God is with us, the desire of God to be with us. When we look in the book of Revelation, we see Jesus walking in the seven churches. He's there. He is giving direction, correcting, exhorting. But we see him walking in the church. And one of my favorite verses that I think it's so amazing, it's in Acts chapter 23, verse 11, where Paul is before a hard situation. People are hunting him down. He doesn't know what to do. People took a vow of killing him until they won't eat until he dies. And then he's in a hard place. And it says in verse 11, the following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, what an amazing picture. The Lord stood near Paul. I like to see what that means. I don't know exactly. Jesus was there with him. Well, that's what the word says. That he was near Paul. And God told him, take courage. As you have to testify about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. I'm calling you to go and be a witness. You see, God has placed calling upon our lives. But he's telling us, you're not going alone. I'm with you. I will always be with you. You see, it changes everything, right? When we look at the promise of the Holy Spirit, that you will receive the Comforter. When we look at the upper room in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, where they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they started to speak in tongues and empowered by the Holy Spirit. What was God doing? He was coming and make us his habitation, and he was showing that he was going to be with us. In my difficult times and challenge and my loneliness, I'm not alone. In my time of confusion and doubts, I'm not alone. When I don't know what is ahead of me because I'm don't know. He's with me. In my relationship, when I don't know how to reconcile, he has a way because he's with me. In my health, when I'm dealing with health issues, you're not alone. When you struggle against sin, you're not alone. There's peace, joy, faith, courage, and direction found in him. I like what Isaiah 55, 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Like, call on him while he's near. Like, he's close to me. I just got to open up to him. James chapter 4, verse 8 says the same thing. Come near to God and he will come near to you. What a verse. Think about that for a moment. You say, God, yeah, I want you in my life. Here he comes. Wow, it's just amazing, right? It's unreal. It's the same thing when it comes to communion. And it's the thought I want to share is that God is present right now in this room. He's present in this place because he's Emmanuel, and he told us that he would be with us. And communion reveals that Christ is among us. And like we'll be having communion in a short bit. And when it comes to communion, we're called to remember what Jesus has done, right? To do this in remembrance of him. But we're also called to remember that he is the same. And this is the heart of communion. And this is why it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there's when you take the cup in an unworthy manner, he says some of you are sick and even some of you have died. Some of you in the congregation has died. Because the thought was, oh, like you just take communion, there's no real meaning in it. But when you look at communion, what it really represents, it's to do this in remembrance of what he has done, but it's to remember that he's here right now. Like, let's say that instead of our sister that came through the door, it would have been Jesus that came into the room. Would it change the way I would respond to him or to communion? Absolutely. Like, for example, to remember of someone and to have a conversation in a room and you remember about someone, it's okay. It's fine. But to have that person in the room changes everything, right? Because if you do things only in remembrance, you say, well, you know, it's not, well, you can develop your own perspective of Jesus. But if Jesus is in the room right now, it changes, well, it should change everything, right? And so the reality is Jesus is in the room. And so when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, it says, for I received from the Lord what I also pass unto you, is the Lord Jesus on the night he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In verse 25, it says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Look what he says in verse 26. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Like, he's not dead. It's not just a memory. He's right here today. And the cross is as powerful today than it was 2,000 years ago. It still can absorb my sins. It still can bring freedom in my inner man. He still can heal my body. He still can heal my relationships. And that's what we celebrate today. We celebrate the imminence of God. that God is in our midst. And when we take the bread and the juice, we celebrate the fact that Christ is in our midst. That we are celebrating His, or we are proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes. So this is why it says in verse 27, therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. And in verse 28, says a man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks of the cup. Just to say that God is in our midst, and what we're called to do is to surrender to Him and to acknowledge Him and to realize He's right here, right now, able to free me, empower me, release me from the things that are preventing me of fulfilling and following Him. Amen? We serve a God that is present. And as we're going to break the bread and drink the juice today, He's here and He's able to touch you and bring freedom to your life.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.